Welcome to another episode of SME Funding. My name is Lynette Mduli, your host for this show and also the CEO of Innate Investment Solutions. As usual on the show, I'm joined by my co-host, Kumaran Padayachi of Spartan. And today we have a guest in studio because we'd love to talk about both a contentious but a very relevant issue when it comes to the matter of funding. Business plans. Are they necessary? Who should be writing them? And which work? Joining us on the couch today is our guest, Veritas van Niekerk of Outcore Financial Management. And they specifically deal with supporting established SMEs in the South African market. And he's going to share some of his experiences about what type of business plans and what should be in them and what ultimately succeeds. Kumaran, you and I have debated this issue ad nauseum about who should be writing your business plans, what type of business plans actually work, and do you need a big, heavy business plan in the first place?
Yeah.
So I'm really happy to have Bertus here today. And I'd really like us to engage on the issue of, do you need a business plan? And what does a business plan in 2016 typically need to have in order to secure you funding success?
Yeah, Lynette, we've often spoken about this topic on the show already. And today we're having a different perspective. With a service provider perspective. Normally you go to the funder and they say, I need forecasts, I need a business plan, and the SME runs, ooh, I need someone to help me. And typically they run to someone like Bertus.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe he's going to give us the lowdowns of what they should be doing and shouldn't be doing, because our suspicion is that it's simply fully outsourced and they don't participate in the process. So maybe tell us about your experience.
Yeah, Kumaran, I think, you know, typically what happens is the SME owner is very good at what he does. He understands his product, he understands how to market it.
Mm.
But normally the guys leave behind the importance of the financials and the financial management function in the business. We believe it's sitting right in the core of your business. You've got to take care of that on a daily basis like you do of production, of your operations, and you've got to look after it.
So tell me about some of the instances, your experience when an SME comes to you and say, I need to raise funding, I've gone to the funder, they've asked me for a business plan and forecasts.
Yeah.
Has that happened? And tell me about typically
Yes. What's
the good and bad when that happens. Give us the inside.
I think the bad is that they normally come when it's almost too late.
Okay.
They've already gone to the funder for the finance,
yeah.
And instead of coming to their FD that's on site, which they normally don't have, or an organization like ourselves, instead of coming to us first so that we can prepare the necessary numbers and business plan for the funder, they come when it's too late.
Okay, that's one problem. And then when they brief you, how's that done?
You get some of the guys that would literally just say, take care of that for me. And then you get the crowd that's really serious about their financials and their business, understanding after having a discussion, saying, please get involved on a monthly basis so that we do proper management reporting.
Okay.
So, you know, the thing that when we talk about business plans is that Spartan as a funder, when we get a forecast and we're interviewing the entrepreneur on this document, business plan or forecast that's been provided by someone like this, and the person ums and ahs because you can see they don't know the content.
Parts of it. So,
and then we look at this and say, hang on, did you prepare this? Who prepared it? And, you know.
Yeah. So I definitely, Bertus, that's something that's interesting for me, is how involved should you typically be in the preparation of that funding business plan? You know, you obviously would help with the creation of the management accounts on a monthly basis. But then the entrepreneur themselves, do you find that people come in and actually sit with you and brainstorm how to actually put together their funding application? Or do they almost expect that once they've briefed you, they're waiting for the final results that they're going to then attach almost to the middle of their application and just send in?
Yeah, typically the guys run their businesses on a cash flow model instead of on a proper management reporting model. And, you know, they come in brief, and once they start understanding the numbers on a monthly basis and understanding what it means in their business, they then see the value thereof, and they want the continuation. They actually then get to a stage where they understand the numbers, they own the numbers, and they insist on having those monthly meetings that we that we actually need to have to discuss the numbers and see how the business goes forward.
And have you typically seen success in terms of funding with those entrepreneurs who are very much more involved with the development of their numbers, as opposed to those who just rely strictly on you providing the necessary numbers?
Definitely. There's a definite change and a distinct difference between the entrepreneur that wants to work with a financial management company or an FD on site, as opposed to the ones that don't want to. Okay. And those that don't want to, you see often that the success rate is not great with the funders, because the funders do want a continuation. They want to see the numbers on a monthly basis and understand, will they get the return on their investment? Will they actually see a healthy company going forward? Because normally the funding is not a short-term funding, as in 1 year or something like that.
Okay. For those SMEs or entrepreneurs that simply say, here, I need this, and dump it on your lap, why is it that that happens in your view? What's the reason for that?
I think the finance department is normally a grudge purchase, like it is with marketing. Mm. And they don't see the importance often of having it full-time.
My theory is that they're not au fait or comfortable with the subject matter, with the numbers, with numerics, do not perhaps have a financial background, and so it's like, ooh, this is voodoo, you sort it out. Yeah. Is that not the case?
It is. The understanding is often a problem, but also for the owner, it's important for them to understand that the numbers that are provided to them actually do start making sense. They've got to take ownership of those numbers. If they're not in that mind frame, then it's difficult for them to switch over.
But now, if they don't understand the subject matter, how does one? It's a new skill you have to learn, right?
Yeah, and terminology and ratios and all those sort of things. We do educate them well on it. How do the ratios on balance sheet react to whatever's happening on income statement so that they can make educated decisions?
But those not dealing with you, that's the vast majority. Let's talk about what can they do to teach themselves this subject matter. You know, understanding numbers and finances and the lingo and all of that, so that they don't avoid it.
Yeah. First and foremost, get away from managing your company on a cash flow basis. Get involved in managing your business on an accounting basis, because the two are very different.
Yeah. We're going to have an ad break, but you didn't answer the question. We're going to come back at you.
Right.
When we get back to the break, we'll chase after that answer, but also start to look at what you at home can start to interact with, can begin to research, as well as incorporate into building your own financial business plan. We'll be right back. Welcome back to SME Funding. So before the break, Kumaran, Bertus and myself were speaking about business plans, but more specifically, Kumaran posed a really interesting question. So I'm going to allow him to continue with that thought.
Yeah. So Bertus, I was asking you about my theory and the experience is that the reason why the SME or the entrepreneur simply dumps the request for the business plan or forecast is because they don't understand the content. Mm. And so the specific question is, what can be done for a busy entrepreneur to learn the voodoo subject of accounting and finance so that they're familiar with the content?
Kumaran, I think you would get some entrepreneurs that like the reading, so they can go on a course and that. But I don't think that a course as such, if you don't put it into practice, is going to help a lot.
True.
You've got to actually engage with a professional in the industry to actually guide you on a very active and frequent basis to get to the point where they weekly, even daily, interact with you, and so through that educate themselves.
Okay, so by discussing the content matter and reviewing the stuff regularly, it almost serves like an accidental coaching.
Very much so, yeah.
On the job kind of learning.
100%. And it's because every decision you make in business has a financial implication, you cannot neglect that beyond that point.
I quite like that point. I know personally I also do that, where at least once a month I make a good section of time to go and sit with the accountant. And, yes, there are technicalities in the work that they pull together, but it's always so educational to understand the ratios and to actually see them live and get a calculator out and an Excel spreadsheet out and actually see the indicators in your business come to life and light. And in that, and the more you sit with them, as you rightly point out, the stronger you become at understanding what you should be focused on and what you should be doing.
You mentioned something now, Lynette, I want to pick up on. You said the indicators in your business.
Mm.
So let's talk about that. I mean, different businesses should have different unique indicators that are relevant to them.
Mm.
Right. You want to chat about that?
Yeah. We call it the metric of measure. It's quite important to focus on whatever is the metric of measure in your business. And through understanding your metric of measure, you can actually break down your revenue, all of your cost components, every aspect of your business you can break down into small components. What is the contribution of my cost per unit, per head, per whatever tonnages it is that your business has inside of the business? So it's important to understand that. And often you find that the entrepreneur reacts to that better than what they do to just 10,000 rands worth of expense in the income statement, but a cost per tonnage makes more sense to them.
Why do they react better to it?
Because of how they are inclined. Yeah. They do
they
think about it differently. It's
things.
All part of the costing of their business, is how they arrived at a cost per unit. And they often think like that. And us that think we're clever accountants, we arrive there and want to teach them something different. Whereas give them a dashboard that they understand.
Mm.
Give them a dashboard that will guide them in a direction where they can actually give a return to the funder, where they actually then also drive their business to be successful.
And should one be brave enough to show those metrics of measure to the funders?
Yes, definitely.
Why?
I think the funder needs to understand the business. The funder won't get involved at application stage in the business if they didn't understand the business. So the more detail you give to the funder and the more credibility you put on those numbers, the better and the more comfort the funder will have.
So before we started the show, we were talking about funding not being a once-off event, like it's a multiple occurrence, right?
Yeah.
So let's tap him about that.
All right. So, Bertus, on your side, you know, funding, you start out needing an initial amount and then your needs change. The business is beginning to grow. You're seeing scale and you're seeing growth. The funders that successfully scale through funding, what do they specifically do right? And just based on that point that you are making about the measures of their success within their business and that dashboard, what is it that they specifically focus on?
Yeah. Funders do want to understand that there is integrity behind the data that they receive from the financial department.
Okay.
It's quite important. They need to understand that there is accuracy inside of those numbers because the business needs to drive into what we call second gear. And you've got to get to a point where profitability is happening on a monthly basis.
Okay.
And the forecasting, typically accountants are historians. We report on what's happened. We believe the quicker after month end you report, the better, because then you can still rectify what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But then also the forecast going forward for the next quarter at least is critical. And funders do want to see, because business is dynamic. We've got an economy that reacts.
Yes.
And you want to make sure that you stay in touch with whatever's happening out in the economy. So the reporting that gets done is not only on the historical matters, but the reporting needs to be what is the forecast going to look like for the next quarter.
Mm.
And keep it as close as possible. To forecast for 5 to 10 years is unrealistic.
Ah.
You've got to do it in shorter intervals because the economy does react that quickly these days.
Mm. So on that particular point, most funders, Kumaran, as you'll know, generally ask you to do sort of a 3-year forecast. So in your business plan and in your actual submissions. So are you then saying that perhaps it is better for you to motivate, dependent on the type of business you're in, the sector you operate in, and I suppose the external forces that put pressures on your businesses at different seasons, that you motivate two funders that you only forecast for almost a year at a time, at worst and at best?
Lenders won't let you forecast just for a short space of time.
Okay.
The funders would basically require you to show what the end goal is going to be for the funding that they provide. But to get to that goal, we've got to break it into smaller bite-sized chunks and forecast for a quarter at a time so that we ensure that we're still on the right path to get to that goal.
Okay, so be realistic, really, as far as possible with those cash flow forecasts.
Not all funders want a 3-year forecast. It depends on the nature of what you're requiring funding for.
Right.
Mm.
If it's a substantial amount, that's a game changer amount, and it's for a long period of time, then you need, if it's a Bucky or a simple machine you need or whatever, you're not going to need that kind of a forecast. And then, but what we're also seeing, what we're doing as a finance company, what we're seeing other funders do is now request regular updated management accounts. It's not, there's the funding, assess you and off you go. It's, I want to see this stuff every month, I want to see this stuff every quarter. So then you're expecting to see management accounts every month, every quarter. Mm-hmm. And if there was indeed a projection, then you want to compare to say, okay, if it hasn't gone according to plan, are you going to do a rolling forecast and adjust for the next quarter?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right. I think from a funder point of view also, it's easier to extend further funding when you are involved on a monthly basis receiving reports that actually are credible. Then you're close enough to the business to avoid the whole business plan engagement again, because on a monthly basis you're being educated what's happening in the business. You're close enough, and to extend further funding would be an easier task.
So the more diligent you are really in preparing your statements, in sitting with your accountants and presenting up-to-date relevant information, it also cuts a lot of the red tape, I think, that exists in actually accessing funding in the first instance.
100%.
Okay.
Red tape doesn't exist in the SME market.
All right, so we're going to take a brief break. And when we come back for this next segment of SME Funding, we're going to chat about what you at home, who's sitting very confused perhaps, very overwhelmed perhaps, with how to put together your funding requirements and your own financials for funding requirements, and how to better clean up your own shop. We'll be right back. Welcome back to SME Funding. So before the break, one of the questions I really had for our guest today, Francis, was, I'm a small business. I have no formal processes and systems in place, and I'm literally operating from the boot of my car, from my garage, and out of my pocket. I don't even have receipts and formal invoices and the like.
God help you.
But that's the nature of what's actually happening out in our market. What are the very first and critical steps that a small, perhaps less corporatized, less formalized business needs to take in order for them to build systems and processes around financial management that will help them make sure that you have the data that's necessary to help them with their business plan?
Right. I think one's got to start at the beginning, and it does mean that you've got to understand that it doesn't matter what size your business is. Mm-hmm. You do need a set standard of accounting records that you need to keep. And one's got to start at the beginning. You've got to start from your pocket and take some of those slips out and provide them to someone that can actually reduce them to an accounting system where you do record all of that information to eventually give you an income statement and a balance sheet that actually does make sense, that reconciles, that gives you the truth of what has happened. Mm-hmm. From that, we do prepare cash flows and you know, one of the requirements would be that forecast that we spoke about earlier.
Yes.
That the funder would need. So those are the bare necessities that you need to have for your business plan, and it's a non-negotiable.
So keep every slip, keep records of, keep your bank statements in check somewhere, and have an ongoing file of this information that you can hand to a professional who can then make sense of it.
And please be organized with that.
And also, the important thing here is that we see it needs to be a regular rhythm rather than a once-off, oh, I need the funding, let me go and do this, and afterwards don't maintain it.
As I said earlier, that operations is a daily task, and it has a financial implication, which needs to be a daily task as well. Don't leave it for a year down the line and think that you're going to make sense of your business. It just won't happen.
I've seen somebody arrive at their accountant's office with a jar, and it just slips, and you don't want to be that person.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. So, Baratus, around that as well, there's obviously around the funding application as well, you've now got all the systems in place, but perhaps you're still not entirely comfortable. What other supports then can your accountant or an intermediary between yourself and your accountant provide you then in closing that loop and making sure that by the time you get to your funder back with all your detailed documentation, what can you provide and suggest as a solution to that? And more importantly, can we also look at what are the non-negotiables, the documents you absolutely have to have and have to have understood before you go back to your funder?
Right. very important there is that we need to up the frequency once again in terms of the time that you spend on the finances. That's step number one. And once you get that right, you'll get closer to your numbers. And for the SME owner, they need to ensure that they do get close to those numbers. Once you understand your numbers, you're able to make educated decisions. And like we always say in life, every action has got a reaction. And this reaction here would be a financial implication with regards to taxation, with regards to a return to the funder, whatever the case might be. The non-negotiables, once again, you know, if we just go down to it, you cannot run a business without understanding your numbers. You have to understand your income statement. How does that income statement react? And you've got to have a business plan, which in our sense, on a monthly basis, is our budget. That is the guideline to get you to that goal. And you've got to compare your actuals to your budget to see, are you on track or not? And have a frequent review of that. And then it feeds over into a balance sheet, as I mentioned, and your cash flow projections and cash flow forecasts are quite important, because that's ultimately where the funder gets involved and supplies the shortfalls that you might encounter for as long as you see the return happening with regards to the funding that's been invested.
All right. Well, thank you very much to Baratas for all of your tips, as well as those very practical interventions that all of our SMEs at home can immediately begin to inculcate into their financial management. At this point, we're going to allow Kumaran to give us his tip of the week. And once he's done that, we're then going to close the show and make sure that you've got all the details you need to get in touch with us right here on the show.
So my advice for this week's episode is, if you're working with a outsourced financial provider, you've got to maximize the value that you're getting. They can be cheap or they can be expensive, but you've got to maximize the value, and that's when it's affordable. You do that by two things: working with the outsourced provider as opposed to simply dumping the stuff and getting them to do it. Right? So if you're working with them, you're getting maximum value. And second, use them as an accidental coach, because then they're teaching you. By questioning them all the time, they're teaching you about your finances, and that's where you're growing as well.
So ask questions, and when we know better, we do better. Well, to our viewers at home, you are welcome to contact us right here on SME Funding at smefunding@bdtv.co.za. And you can follow these conversations on social media, specifically on Twitter at funding_SME. Should you wish to join us as a guest on the show, please do email us the challenge or the opportunity you face in the world of funding. And who knows, you could join Kumaran right here on our couch on the show. We look forward to engaging with you further, and keep tuned in to SME Funding. Thank you very much.